Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. You may have seen Wayne Coyne, the frontman of the Flaming Lips, walking over his audience in a large plastic bubble, or leading an orchestra of car radios in a parking lot, or working with Miley Cyrus, or any of a number of other unusual projects. But at the end of the day, Wayne Coyne is a songwriter, and he's written a strong collection of songs for the latest album by the Flaming Lips called, I think, Ochi Mwadi. Wayne, first of all, great to have you with us.
Excellent. Well, and just previous to your, that was a very composed introduction there. Thank you. Yeah. It seemed like it was all being quickly thrown together, and then you composed yourself so well.
Yes. Yeah. Well, This doesn't just happen, you know.
If people only knew the chaos that was swirling around us just before. But yeah, you said this title of our album, which we're saying more like it's like just a made-up word, this oxymelody, which we feel like is a little, well, it's funny or something. You know, it's slightly meaningless, but it does have this other meaning in the...
The way you say it reminds me of OxyContin and Melody.
Yeah, exactly.
Neither of which is entirely inappropriate for your band.
I would totally agree. I think people have said that about the title. And that it's...
So yeah. I ruined it by trying to say it Polishly.
No, I think you're bringing more depth into it. And 'cause we would have eventually had to confront this thing that it is actually a Polish phrase.
Yeah.
And you're saying it Ochi.
Ochi.
Yeah. That's the eyes. That's the eyes and the.
So the CZ is the ch sound, and then the ML is mwa.
Yeah, that's
in
the
Polish.
Mwa. Yeah, that's the strange part that I would have never guessed that. So yeah, this is the title of our album and a song that's on there as well, and a couple of other tracks. I had this little paperback book that I bought at a record store, a used bookstore, about 5 or 6 years ago. And the title of it is Blisko Domu. And I didn't know what that was when I bought it. It has a cool picture on the cover. And, you know, I just liked it. And I looked at it and thought, well, this is in some other language, but it didn't matter. It was a dollar. And I put it in my little carrying case. And I carried it around, and it ended up being on one of the tables in the studio where we're working at my house and stuff. And this book, you know, even though it's in this, what to me is an indecipherable language, you pick it up. It's kind of like reading in your dreams, I think. I mean, we'd pick up this book and you get the feeling you're reading, but you're really not. You know, you're skimming over these things, and yet none of it is giving you information. I think we were searching for a song title. We had this instrumental track, and we never had a good name for it, and we were searching for a title, and I think Stephen came across this, what we're saying, oxymelody, and it was intriguing to us. And I think sometimes that kind of nonsense, or there's nothing set in what it's supposed to mean, I think that really appealed to us. Oxymelody sounds like a Star Wars character. You know, he's like a lizard that ride. You know, he's the captain of one of the spaceships, and of course, he's called Oxymelody, and you just accept that. Yeah.
Now, as an album, though, it seems like there's a connection between a lot of the songs. I mean, sometimes it's a literal connection. One song grows out of another.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I thought I was hearing towards the end of the album, especially. kind of echoes of the harmonic, the underlying harmonic material from the beginning of the album.
But see, you're a good listener, you know, and these things are staying with you. And I think that's one of the, you know, we had a determination to make a piece of music, even though it is, you know, a series of songs, and you do want to be refreshed as you go through this, if you're going to listen to all the songs at the same time. A lot of people don't, even
right.
Myself don't always. You just go to, you know. But if you were to listen to it all at the same time, it's not like a classical piece of music, but there's some similarities where you're bringing up themes and you're saying, this is a certain mood. And if you don't like this mood, well, you know, maybe you need another record. But it has a, you know, it's trying to set this
right.
this setting for you or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to We a Family at the end of the record and finding yourself casting back to that opening track, that Ochimor Melody.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to get used to saying it now. You're Oxy Melody.
I've messed you up.
Yeah. Well, let's do that. Let's listen to a little bit of this track from the album by the Flaming Lips. The song is called We a Family. Some of a song by Wayne Coyne and the Flaming Lips called We a Family. Wayne Coyne with me here on Soundcheck. The new album by the Flaming Lips is called Oxy Melody. And who's that other vocalist that we hear?
Well, that coming in on the second verse there is our great freaky friend, Miley Cyrus. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, records come out and you do a lot of interviews and stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
and I think people have considered her the single most controversial thing that's ever happened to the Flaming Lips.
Yeah, well, those are clearly people who have not been following the Flaming Lips very long.
Well, I think there's a, you know, we get so used to talking, most people that are interested in the Flaming Lips, it's a world of music and art and ideas, and we go in that realm and it was, I mean, and we've done other things where it's become more about, you know, gossip and personalities and stuff, but never as much as when you start to know someone like a Miley Cyrus and do music with her. And I think people would be very surprised when you're right there in the middle of it, that she's very much like us in that way. Yeah.
I have to say I was not so surprised.
Well, thank you. Yeah, yeah.
For me, it was just like, okay, they've been flying their freak flag for 20 years.
I agree. I mean, to me, it never felt like we were going, oh, well, this is going to be. It just seemed very normal for us. And it just seemed normal that we would know each other and reach out to each other. And yeah. Mm.
So she's on that song called We a Family from the latest album by the Flaming Lips. There, even before the album came out, there were a trio of singles that were released, all with the usual crazy videos. but the one that I want to play a little bit of is The Castle, because there's a kind of tension here, which I'm sure was intentional on your part. There's a tension between the kind of melancholy, you know, the sad slash weird lyrics and what is one of the most accessible and lovely melodies that you've written.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. The song has an underlying, I think, a brutally sad story behind it. A friend of ours' sister had committed suicide. And at the end of this one night in the studio, I just had a little bit of an idea of a song that was connected to this. And I think I was very lucky that I came up with this slight metaphor, the castle can never be rebuilt again, meaning whatever it was, her personality, her life, and her place in our life, or whatever that is. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it doesn't
yeah.
really even have to mean that, but it worked enough for me to say, oh, I got that in there. And then, like you said, to make the song fun and weird and kind of unexpected is the only way anybody would want to get to the sadder, more powerful part of the song. And I think that really worked. I think otherwise I probably would have just kept writing and thinking, oh, it's, you know, this, it's a sad song about a sad thing, about a sad day, about it, you know, and it's not colorful and it's not a story. But this other way, I think, really, really helps.
Let's hear a little bit from The Castle, from the Flaming Lips album called Oxymelody.
Her sky.
Bit of The Castle. That's music written by Wayne Coyne, the singer and multi-instrumentalist who fronts the Flaming Lips, and you're laughing. Did I say something wrong? Singer, multi-instrumentalist.
Yeah. I mean, it's like there's so many things that go into making a record that you know, as the overseer in the end, you know, I always say, you know, if you like it, yes, of course, I'm the great overseer and I'm the one putting it all together. And if you don't like it, I'm sadly the responsible one for that as well. But, you know, there's so many things that go into it. I never ever think of it as being myself. I mean, I'm in there and I'm guiding it and helping it. And I think my personality is all through all that. But I hear it being all this other stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there certainly are. You mentioned Stephen before, but we should also mention David Fridman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Longtime
mm-hmm.
producer of yeah. all the Flaming Lips records. Mm-hmm. And there were some interesting choices made in the production of this record that I wanted to ask you about.
You're a great listener. I love this. Yeah. I love this. Yeah.
I mean, halfway through the record, I found myself thinking, this is not an R&B record, but it's produced like one.
That's a great, you know, you noticing this little thing, which I think part of that is probably us working with Miley Cyrus and having. When we would be sitting with Miley in her studio sometimes, we're working on music, but she's also sitting on her laptop. There's pictures of it out there on her Twitter and stuff that she has, you know, on any given day, you know, 200 or 300 tracks that have been made for, not for her, but for, you know, some slightly popular, you know, great singer to maybe attach themselves to it. And she'd be go through listening to these tracks and she'd say, well, Wayne, what do you think of this? And, you know, and we would see that these tracks would kind of, you know, they would kind of
spark,
you know, you'd hear and be like, oh, now I want to sing something
yeah,
like that, as opposed to the way that Stephen and I would, we would build it from the ground up. You know, we'd build it from chords and melodies and then turn it into lyrics. And then the sound would come at the end. And we had always had a great desire to go the other way. Like, let's just have the sound show up and then we'll think of something or be inspired or be in, you know, that'll invigorate us to do something to the music. Yeah.
Well, it's interesting, you know, this idea of Miley Cyrus sorting through, you know, tracks, programmed percussion and things like that. You know, there's a fair amount of that on your new record.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm.
There's a song that when I first got the record, it was a series of digital files, and the file was called One Night While Wizard Hunting. But that's not really what the song is called, as it turns out.
Well, no, it's you know, in the pantheon of long Flaming Lips titles. I don't think it's the longest, but it's a good long title. But it tells you everything you either want to know about whether you want to listen to the song or not. I think it's called One Night While Hunting for Fairies and Witches and Wizards to Kill.
Yes.
Yeah.
And to kill at the end changes the mood from a kind of fairy tale to something much more Flaming Lips-ish.
and that's exactly why the title kept going. It would only work if at the very end you got this, oh, well, now I'm interested.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's built on a rhythm track, and I don't know whether this was intentional or not, that is very reminiscent of an early song by Brian Eno.
I love Brian Eno. Don't know all of his stuff, but well, thank you. I'll take that as a good compliment.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. What year is this?
It's the last song on side one of Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy.
Oh, excellent. Okay, so it's a track that's been around a long time.
Oh,
okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
All right. Yeah.
But anyway, so to get back to the whole production thing, what I want to play is getting towards the end of the song. It builds to this kind of dramatic, almost cinematic sound.
Yeah.
But there are all these stray, odd sounds around the edges of the mix. What's going on there?
Well, I mean, I think we have a tendency to do that layering, you know, telling stories. And it's very easy for us to build and build and build. And sometimes we just run out of room, you know. And I think we like the idea that all these little unmusical, quirky, I don't know. They're helping you tell the story, even though sometimes it's not just about music. And some of that is just dumb accidents. You know, at some point you're going through a mix and something gets thrown through an effect that you had forgot about and gets turned on. And you're like, oh, my God, what is that? What could that possibly
this
be?
This is so funny because everything you're saying now, Brian Eno has said here
about
the way he made those records back in the day, you know, honoring your error as a hidden intention, all that kind of stuff, refusing to erase anything. But once I've committed it to tape, I'm going to find a way to stick it somewhere in the song.
Well, excellent. Yeah. I mean, you know, he's probably more, you know, he probably has more of a mantra about what it means than we do. I mean, we just simply feel like it would be probably boring even to us if we just were simply doing what we wanted to do, and it was working. You know, oftentimes you're doing exactly what you want, and you just feel like, oh, this is doing nothing. And you hope that there's a happy
accident.
Yeah, something comes in that inspires the whole thing.
Well, let's hear a little bit of the song. One Night While Hunting for Fairies and Witches and Wizards to Kill, from the latest album by the Flaming Lips. Just an excerpt from a song called One Night While Hunting for Fairies and Witches and Wizards to Kill. A little bedtime story for the kids there, courtesy of my guest Wayne Coyne and the rest of the Flaming Lips. The new album is called Oxymelody. I'm having to re-engineer my Polish pronunciation to
your automatic. You're so good at this Polish pronunciation stuff. Yeah,
I'm just faking it, but but now I'm having to unfake it to learn the real way that you say it. What is the state of the art of the Flaming Lips live show now that you guys are supporting this?
Well, I mean, you know, probably when way back in the very late 90s, you know, we sort of broke the mold of what the Flaming Lips, you know, could be. You know, we had up until the late 90s, I sort of felt like we were some version of kind of a melodic, noisy, guitar band, mm-hmm. you know, a couple of guitars, a bass player and a drummer. And that would be you know, the way we would present ourselves. And so nowadays, we are lucky that through the years of you know, we still are based in Oklahoma City. That's where mm-hmm. we've always lived. And these musicians from around there have grown up with us and know all of our stuff. Now we're a seven-piece group when we play live. You know, the way that you can sample all these things from our own records. And so when you hear us play live, there's elements that you're hearing on the records that are being triggered by, you know, drum pads and, mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. little computer parts and all that. And it's insane. I mean, it's different than playing to tracks, which a lot of people do. You know, they play to these very well, you know, produced dynamic tracks. But we're not doing that. It's just, you know, guys are all playing it, and it allows it to breathe, allows it to be, you know, dynamic, and allows it to be kind of slightly more free. And if I want to slow down in mm-hmm. my singing and be more dramatic or something. So, I think it's the best we've ever been. More attention to the detail of the sounds of the songs.
I it's always struck me that you guys were an Oklahoma band. You are still an Oklahoma band. You are responsible for the official rock song of the state of Oklahoma, signed by the governor himself, that statement, that act of the Oklahoma state government. You're there in the middle of the country in an industry that is, let's face it, still concentrated on the coasts.
Well, but I mean, I think everybody's so connected now with the internet and all that sort of stuff. I mean, I think we were lucky at that time. You're talking about the governor, you know, making this thing happen. I mean, he was at the end of his two terms. Uh-huh. Which is, it always seems like a really great explosive times to say, I'm going to do whatever I want. I'm not running for reelection. And so that was, a couple of them got together and they made this, it was sort of a contest. You know, I think they knew we were going to win, but I think they made it a contest to be like, everybody in Oklahoma is allowed to vote for their favorite song to be this, you know, the state rock song. Do you I mean, we're lucky. We won by a lot, but I like the idea that it was fair. It wasn't just someone's mm-hmm. decision, and it was. It still is. It's absurd. I mean, that's the word I use because it's not. People think some mistake has been made. Yeah. When we were asked to be in, I don't know if people remember the Peach Pit on Beverly Hills 90210. You know, this was probably the very beginning of us.
I never saw this, but I know it's been. You guys have used recycled some of this footage, haven't you?
Of course, yeah. of course we have. You know, how many times you get to be introduced, you know, I forget the woman that did it. But, you know, in the beginning of being asked about this, you know, you're like, oh, wait, you know, we don't even like this show. We don't even watch this show. This seems ridiculous. But then another part of us just switched and we were like, oh, this is just going to be outrageous. This should be a lot of fun. Not that it's going to make great art, not that it's going to be great for music, but it would be an absurd experience for us. And we're in this, living our life as we go, and it doesn't all have to stand for something later. It can stand for that moment that you're just doing it.
Please help me welcome the cool, the crazy, the fabulous Flaming Lips!
Taking things too serious can be bad for your...
For a lot of things.
For fun. Yes.
Yeah. Wayne Coyne with me from the Flaming Lips here in the Soundcheck studio. I do want to play a little bit of probably my favorite track from the record, There Should Be Unicorns.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, yeah. All right. Yeah.
So let's hear a little bit more from the album called Oxymelody by the Flaming Lips. Yeah,
we'll be right back.
There Should Be Unicorns is the name of that from the Flaming Lips record called Oxymelody. Wayne Coyne from the band has been here with me in the Soundcheck studio. So what happens now? I mean, it's like touring time. Do you write on tour or do you can't write on tour?
No, I mean, it's all happening at the same time. I mean, with us, it's never, you know, compartmentalized. Mm. You know, you're kind of just doing stuff. And even not just yesterday, but the previous day, Stephen was playing. You know, we do pretty long sound checks, and there's some time in there to kind of, you know, meander around. Stephen was playing something. I knew that he was writing a little melody. I could tell he was messing with chord changes and stuff. And I did a little recording of it on my phone as he went through it, you know. And
does he know this yet?
Well, we talked about it afterwards because I was like, I know that's a thing you're working on. And I could tell he was, you know, placing, yeah. Oh, do this and that. And I have a little recording of it, and I would watch it later and be like, oh, I really like that. I think he could tell that I was starting to be like, oh, I could turn that into a mm-hmm. little. And that's happening all the time. And, you know, if you wait to go up into the cabin in the mountain, you know, and do all that, you're not going to want to be, you know, making music for very long. It's just there's nothing you can do. But I think the way I grew up, you know, in my big family, you know, older brothers, older sister, tons of friends, drugs, chaos, motorcycles, people going to jail, fighting, dogs fun, full of love. And yet I would be able to sit in the corner and, you know, draw pictures and paint and listen to music and all that. And I think that probably prepared me for this thing that I'm so alive in this all this chaos. And I never really think like, oh, if it only would just all quiet down, I could get back to my thing.
Wayne, it's been a real pleasure having you with us here in the studio. Congratulations on the new record.
Yeah, well, thank you. And I you know, you listening to all those little things and your pronunciations and all that stuff, it's wonderful. I mean, it's just a wonderful, having someone that's so familiar with it. That's cool. Thank you so much.
Wayne Coyne, easily impressed, my guest on Soundcheck. Our technical director is Irene Trudell, who also engineered this session. Light production work provided by the New Sound staff, Karen Havlick. That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, our daily gig alerts, and our weekly music roundup. Check it out at soundcheck.org. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.